It is a privilege and honor to get to be here today, and this ministry is not possible without all of you and an amazing husband and son who are very much in this ministry with us together. And so you get two for one, and three, because we're raising one up to continue to serve and be as well. As we get started today, will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much for how we have already been blessed today, how you have already spoken to our hearts. We thank you for Martha and her leadership with the choir and all who have participated in that. And Jesus, now we ask that you will come, that you will speak through me. Father, that the words and that I've prepared will be what needs to be spoken, Father. We ask that you come and your presence and your spirit be here in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I began to think about Special Needs Sunday and wanting everyone to have a little glimpse of what that journey is like, I wanted to share a poem. And actually, Martha, who you heard a little bit, she came up to me on Friday and she said, "Julie, I have this poem I'd really like to share. Is it okay if I share it?" And I'm like, no, because I'm going to use it in my sermon. So you don't get to steal my thunder. So I'm so glad that this is your heartbeat. And so when I share this poem, you can know that this is very much the heartbeat of our families who have kids with special needs, and they're living this journey. And so it's called Welcome to Holland, and it was written by a mom who has a son with Down syndrome back in the 1980s. She says, "I am often asked to describe the experience of raising a child with a disability. To try to help people who have not shared that unique experience to understand it. To imagine how it would feel. It's like this. When you're going to have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks and make your wonderful plans. The Colosseum, the Michelangelo David, the gondolas in Venice. You may learn some handy phrases in Italian. It's all very exciting. After months of eager anticipation, the day finally arrives. You pack your bags and off you go. Several hours later, you land. And the stewardess comes in and says, 'Welcome to Holland.' 'Holland,' you say. 'What do you mean, Holland? I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All of my life, I have dreamed of being in Italy. But there's been a change in the flight plan. They've landed in Holland. That's where you'll stay. The important thing is that they haven't taken you to a horrible, disgusting, filthy place full of pestilence, famine, and disease. It's just a different place. So you must go out and buy new guidebooks, and you must learn a whole new language, and you will meet a whole new group of people you would have never met. It's just a different place. It's slower paced than Italy, less flashy than Italy. But after you've been there for a while, and you catch your breath, and you look around, you begin to notice that Holland has windmills, and Holland has tulips. Holland even has Rembrandts. But everyone you know is busy coming and going from Italy, and they're bragging about what a wonderful time they've had there. And for the rest of your life, you will say, 'Yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I had planned.' And the pain of that will never go away because the loss of that dream is significant. But if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't go to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy the very special, the very lovely things about Holland." I love that poem, and I have the honor and privilege of getting to travel around the country and share with other churches and within our denomination on how do we do what we do here? How can we begin to be able to have that kind of ministry? And I use that poem because it really helps us to have an idea of what is life like for our families who have special needs in them. And as we began to think about finding God in the unexpected, knowing it's Special Needs Sunday, and I don't know how Pastor Terabeth does this every week, because I started a month ago planning this message, and I was driving in from our home in Riverside, and I was beginning to just ponder and think, okay, who in the Bible fits with this finding God in the unexpected? And God clearly put on my heart Moses, the man Moses. And we look at the life of Moses, and we have, if we go back a little bit, those of us who've been around for a while, we spent a lot of time learning about the people of Israel and how the people of Israel had left Canaan to go to Egypt during a time of famine. And in that time of famine, they were living in Egypt and they were prospering. And Exodus opens up and says, and then a new Pharaoh came into power who did not know Joseph. And he began to look around him, and he saw all the people who were there. And Israel was getting larger and larger and larger, and Pharaoh became threatened. He's like, these people are going to overtake my kingdom. They're going to be, pretty soon, they're going to be more powerful than I am. And so he put out a law. He said, every single Hebrew baby boy that is born is to be killed. So here we have Moses' parents living in Egypt. Their baby boy is born. The law said they're supposed to kill him. And we know that these two wonderful midwives did not follow that. And Moses lived. They kept him in his home and for as long as they could. And then when he became a little bit larger and crying a little bit more, they put him in a basket in the Nile River. And who should come but the princess of Egypt and rescued Moses. And he came into her household, and he was raised, adopted in, as an Egyptian. You fast forward a few more years, and we find Moses out wandering around. Now, he knows he's a Hebrew, but he also has been raised in this Egyptian home. And he sees a fellow Hebrew slave being kind of taken advantage of and being beat up on by an Egyptian. And Moses, in anger, strikes out and kills the man. Then, now he becomes a fugitive. He's on the run. And Moses now is in Midian. He marries, and we find him in this desert place tending sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro. And in Exodus chapter 3, Moses finds God in one of the most unexpected places, a burning bush. I don't know about you, if I'm walking around and there's a burning bush and all of a sudden I start hearing a voice from it, I think I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to listen. So Moses stops, and he begins to listen. And God tells him, Moses, I've heard my people's cries, and I'm going to deliver them, and I've chosen you. You are the one I have chosen to deliver my people from Israel. And Moses is like, I think you got the wrong dude. If you haven't figured out, I really don't know where I belong. I was born a Hebrew, but I've lived in an Egyptian home. I'm a fugitive on the run. I killed a man. You got the wrong guy. No. So he begins with his kind of reasons why, and God continues to show his faithfulness. And we're going to begin in Exodus chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, And when he took it out, the skin was leprous. Now put it back into your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and if you were God to him. God had chosen Moses, and somehow we aren't given fully the picture, but it would seem and appear that Moses struggled with some kind of speech disorder. He didn't feel like he could communicate. Maybe he stuttered, whatever it was. He's like, God, no, you got the wrong person. There is no way I can do this. I am not able. Look at me. I can't speak. Every time I get up to speak, my words don't come out right. You've got the wrong person. And God said, no, you know, and in this, we have to be careful. God isn't the anger that God has is not about he's angry with Moses, but rather disappointed that I have called you, Moses. You need to trust me. You need to trust that when I go before you, I'm going to open up the ears of the Israelites. I'm going to open up their eyes. They will see, they will hear, they will listen to you because I have chosen you. I will go before you. Are you going to trust me? You know, God is so amazing. I picked this song the choir sang out months ago. I'm one of those plan ahead. And I'm like, this would be a great song, not even knowing that here in the middle of this passage, it's trusting God. Trusting in God that when he calls you and tells you to do something, no matter what, that you are to go. But it's not just going on your own. It's not that we're supposed to be on our own. We're supposed to do this together. He said, you know what? I already kind of halfway expected this. So your brother Aaron, he's on his way. He's coming. He's going to speak for you. And Pastor Tara Breath shared in about, I think, July, about how I need you. You need me. We need you. You need us. That's what God is saying here. Moses, you're not doing this on your own. When I call you to do something, you're going to go with someone. It's part of a community. And when Moses found God in this unexpected place, in this unexpected situation, he was reminded of that. And when we look around our world, there are so many unexpected situations and circumstances in our lives. In the last 20-some years that I have had the privilege of serving in special needs ministries, I could probably be here all day telling you all the different stories of people who this was unexpected. The poem Welcome to Holland is their life. You know, you have the young family when their baby was born, and the doctors are telling them, you know, we're really sorry, but he's really not going to amount to much. Don't expect him to walk. Don't expect him to talk. In fact, he's probably going to be a vegetable. These are the words that are spoken. The family that has the young child who's diagnosed with autism and they don't know what to do. Or what about the teenage young boy who is feeling great and happy on one day and all of a sudden he plummets down into despair the next. And when he's finally able to get some help, they find out that he is struggling with a mental health issue. Or we have the young man who's riding a motorcycle carefree day, crashes, has an accident, never to walk again. You have your own story. Everybody here has their own story of something that's unexpected, an unexpected situation, an unexpected circumstance. You're in Holland, you don't want to be there. Even King David had those places. And in Psalm 77, he wrote, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated, and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters. Through your footprint, though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You led them out through Moses and Aaron. Moses, who said, not me, God, I can't do it. You need to call somebody else. I'm not capable. I can't talk very well. You know, I've got this thing going on here. Yet we know the story. Moses and Aaron led the people out, but they did it together. Moses wasn't by himself. He wasn't on his own. He did this with Aaron. They were in community together. And as we look at our own world and we look at our circumstances, maybe today you are like Moses. And you are in just this place where you're just not sure where God is. This was unexpected. And you know that God maybe has put a call on your heart and he has a mission that he wants you to do, but you're just like, nope, God, you need to send someone else. I am not your girl. I'm not your guy. I can't. And I'm going to give you all the reasons why. Look at Moses. God used him. And he can use you. But maybe you're an Aaron out there today. Maybe you are someone who needs to speak up for the Moseses of the world. Maybe you are the one who needs to advocate for someone who doesn't know how to do that on their own. Maybe you are the one who needs to go before and pave the way so that the Moseses in our world and in our congregation can work and do the mission that God has called them to do. As I close today, I'm going to ask you to stand if you are able. And as our closing, we are going to read responsibly a challenge that I give to you. great crowds came to Jesus, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, the mute, and many others who were in need. They put them at his feet and cured them. The crowd was amazed. They saw the mute speaking, the maimed whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they gave glory to God. The Lord calls us as his covenant people to care for each other. We who belong to Christ must answer his call to serve others in his name. The Bible contains many remarkable examples of how God uses each member of his community in surprising ways to enrich and enlarge his church. Example. He wanted and welcomed people with disabilities whom society rejected as useless. We have not always made it possible for people with disabilities to participate fully in the community of Christ. We have too often isolated them and their families. We pledge ourselves to be the caring church we should be, paying special attention to the needs and gifts of people with physical, sensory, mental, and emotional challenges. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chooses men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses to be the instruments of his revelation? We will choose to be God's people, identifying with the weak, because in our weakness, you may be seated. I challenge you this week as you go out and about, whether you're a Moses or an Aaron, to be living out into his community and his mission. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunities you give us. Father, we thank you for the Moseses and the Aarons who are sitting here in our congregation today. Father, we pray that you will help us to not be afraid of the things in our lives that are keeping us from living into your mission. Father, if you've called, Father, we also know that you bring people alongside. Jesus, I pray for all of our families here who live every single day in this journey of Holland. I pray, Father, that you will continue to minister in and through them, that you continue to show them that you have purposes and plans for their lives, for the lives of their kids. Father, for those who are here today and they are living in a situation and circumstance that was so unexpected, that you will meet them where they are, that you will continue to be your grace and mercy in their lives. Jesus, help us to be the community that comes together and knows that we are all better together. Thank you and praise you. In your son's name, amen.